This episode of the Locked On Sabres podcast is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports.
Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is the Locked On NHL podcast. Joe DiBiase, Tom Gazzola here on a Friday as we are rolling through the postseason. Tom, before we get started, you a Seinfeld guy?
I am a Seinfeld guy,
okay,
yes.
And I think you already know exactly where I am going with this. We're going to get to some other playoff series, the Leafs-Canadian series. We got to get into it a little bit on Tom's Oilers, who have been eliminated by the Winnipeg Jets. Also, we've got a Game 7 tonight. So by the time you're hearing this, it might have already happened, but we got Minnesota and Vegas for a 9:30 puck drop on Friday night. We'll squeeze in a little bit on that series as well. But the reason I say you're a Seinfeld fan is because there is a story out of Tampa Bay with the Lightning, that they had a policy that restricted fans from wearing gear supporting other NHL clubs in their premium seating areas. And they decided today, on Friday, that they would no longer enforce that policy. As Greg Wyshynski tweeted, the decision comes after a viral video featuring Panthers fans confronted by arena staff. I actually did not see the video, but it immediately made me think of Elaine Bennis in Seinfeld. When she's wearing the Orioles cap in the owner's box, and the whoever seats they were was going to make her take off the cap. It's immediately what I thought of, Tom.
Yeah. Great episode, by the way, of Seinfeld, among the many great episodes. But, Joe, that video, it's out there, and I'm sure you're going to see it at some point. It's cringeworthy. And, you know, you've got these two people that work for the Lightning who come down and talk to this guy and his kid and tell them they can't sit in those seats. They'll refund them. They can't wear their Panthers shirts. And this guy paid $350, $400, whatever, for these really nice seats. And, you know, so they're being threatened to be booted and given a refund because of what they're wearing. And the guy goes on, defends himself and, you know, makes these comparisons saying, well, I can't wear a Panthers shirt here, but if I was wearing a swastika or a T-shirt with Hitler on it, what would the policy be? And, you know, that's obviously going to an outrageous length, but he's trying to prove his point. And you see these two members of the staff squirming, and he kind of confronts one about being in his face a little bit more than the other. It's all cringeworthy, and it's all because of a really dumb policy, which, thank God, has been reversed. And, Joe, I mean, you're not in an owner's box. Yeah, sure, you're in a club section, whatever. But, like, come on. Are you that worried and that self-conscious of an organization that you will not let other teams' uniforms be shown in certain areas of your arena? Like, that is ridiculous. Like, if it was an owner's box or someone that's a diehard fan of the box, like, box, we're talking about luxury suite, not just general section seating area, even if it's a club section. Like, come on. So it's a cringeworthy video. It's a cringeworthy situation, and it was all stemming from a dumb policy that the Lightning have revoked, thankfully.
Yeah, I was going to say, thankfully they revoked that. I'm watching the video now. I don't think you can really get the greatest sense of it without the sound on, so I'm going to have to watch it again later.
Yeah.
There's already just the expression of the guy in it is already kind of rubbing me the wrong way, even though I can't hear what he's saying behind his mask.
It's not good.
Yeah. The Lightning shut out the Panthers in that game 6, by the way, 4-0. They advance to the next round. They will play the Carolina Hurricanes, who were pushed to 6 games by the Nashville Predators. You know what? Give credit to feisty Nashville. I did not think they were going to push that series to 6, and they very nearly got to 7.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that this series would just be a warm-up for Carolina, and good on the Preds for being scrappy and putting together a couple of wins. But, you know, this
Saros
upcoming
is great.
Yeah, exactly. And he, I think that's him making a statement too, that he wants that net going forward.
Yeah.
I know they drafted, was it Askarov last season? Yep. He's goalie of the future. Well, Saros wants something to say about that. And that's kind of a sign indicating that he's going to not give up that crease just like that to an up and coming young potential superstars. So good on him. Good on the Preds for clawing their way into the postseason and to give it a bit of a fight to the Carolina Hurricanes. Now that Canes Lightning series is going to be tremendous. And they got to have a couple more games than I got to cover in my respective series up here.
Yeah. While we're on series that have ended, and then we'll get to some of the ones that are still ongoing, like Toronto, Montreal in the back half of today's episode. Let's get to it right here. Your Oilers, they get swept. I'm not going to lie, Tom, though. I watched a lot of that series. I did not think they really got outplayed. I thought it was a pretty even series. There were plenty of stretches where Edmonton looked like they were far the better team up front. But man, you run into a guy like Connor Hellebuck playing as good as he played, and your margin of error seemed to be, the Oilers' margin of error seemed to be zero in that series.
Yeah, it was pretty tight. And the Oilers' lack of depth scoring was exposed, although they did put up a good fight, and Hellebuck was excellent. Paul Maurice and his staff putting together a game plan to play the Oilers and handle them to a T was very well executed by the Jets. And Joe, I mean, three out of the four games went to OT. They really could have gone either way. Game one was a 4-1 final. It was really a 2-1 game with two empty netters. And the Jets got the bounces. They created their own bounces through their hard work, and they capitalized, whereas the Oilers were stymied whenever they got great chances by Hellebuck. But yeah, it was a surprising, shocking four-game sweep. And kudos to the Jets for doing what they did. And it really could have gone either way. We could have been talking about a game six tonight, but it wasn't meant to be. And Winnipeg rejoices because for the first time ever, their National Hockey League franchise has beaten the Edmonton Oilers in the playoffs, which is a tremendous feat. And the Oilers have a lot of question marks that they're going to have to look at and some needs to address. And it's going to be an offseason where we see that hopefully get done.
How much, what do you react to with the McDavid stuff? And by the McDavid stuff, I mean, it's nothing near like what I'm sure we're experiencing here in Buffalo with Jack Eichel, but it's more what wonders about, like, is this the beginning of the Oilers and McDavid going down the same path maybe that the Sabres and Eichel are on? Like, it could years of this, a couple more years of this go on and maybe he hits the ejector seat. What do you make of kind of, I don't even know what to call it, but
the rhetoric,
the rhetoric, right? That, yeah, like, he is really frustrated and upset.
Well, he's frustrated they lost. Leon Draisaitl's frustrated they lost. They're all frustrated they lost. I'll say this, Joe, and it's pretty true. The rhetoric is a lot coming from the East. It's coming from outside sources. And Terry Jones, who's a Hall of Fame writer, he's been in this market for 40, 50 years. He actually kind of nailed it on the head. He goes, I feel bad. He tweeted this. He said something to the extent of, I feel bad for all the national reporters that cover the Oilers here that are forced to ask questions about McDavid and how happy he is and his future with the Oilers because their HQs in Toronto tell them to. And having to cover for TSN, you get those questions. And that's something that comes from the head offices, the motherships, if you will, from all national networks. So I think that that's valid in a sense, what Terry Jones said in that one tweet. And if you take a step back and you actually look at what the Oilers have done, they finished second in their division the last 2 years. That's pretty good. They've had terrible playoff results. They've won two of their last 12 playoff games going back to 2017. So that's not good enough. And that's got to change. But they're in the regular season. They're a very good team. And they have proven that for the last couple of years. They're going in the right direction. And now playoff success is a must. And that's just how it's got to be. So disgruntled or upset, it's nowhere near where Jack Eichel is. And then the other thing too, Joe, this is more like the Washington Capitals when they were trying to find their rhythm and turn themselves into a contender. It didn't happen overnight like it did for the Penguins. It didn't happen overnight like it did for the Blackhawks. This is going more so peaks and valleys a la the Washington Capitals. So it happened to Joe Sakic in Quebec and Colorado, happened to Steve Yzerman in Detroit, happened to Mario Lemieux in Pittsburgh. These things take time. And I think this is a reminder of that. So I don't really buy the rhetoric, if you will.
Well, when we come back here on the Locked On NHL podcast, we'll get into the other series up north between Montreal and Toronto, and also Game 7 between the Golden Knights and the Wild. That's after this. Joe DiBiase and Tom Gazzola here on the Locked On NHL podcast.
If you have not tried a Built Bar yet, I strongly encourage you to do so, as somebody that did not eat protein bars because of the taste. And as somebody, am I a candy snob? Am I an aficionado? I don't know. I eat a lot. Not as much anymore. Growing up, a lot of candy bars. And I'm telling you, Built Bar is a candy bar. It's not. It tastes like one, though. You have 18 amazing flavors to pick from, including 6 new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. If you go for the coconut almond puff flavor, that is my favorite. And I'm not even a coconut guy, but it's like eating a Mallow cup. That's how good it is. Built Bars are also great for the healthy conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for keto diets. For example, the peanut butter flavor, 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar, and only 5 grams net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, and you will get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. A word for BetOnline, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but you got the NBA, college hoops, the NHL, all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. For the Saber games, you could bet on the exact amount of which either the Sabres or their opponent will win by. So if you think the Sabres are going to win by exactly 2, you can find odds for the Sabres winning by exactly 2. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. The best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag is the site. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Remember to use the promo code Locked On.
Welcome back to the Locked On NHL podcast. Joe DiBiase at Sneaky Joe Sports on Twitter. Tom Gazzola at Tom Gazzola. We're just enjoying the playoffs. You getting into any NBA playoffs, by the way? Is it all hockey for you right now?
It's all hockey, Joe. I've never been much of an NBA. I dabble a little bit. I'll watch from time to time, but I'm not going to lie to you. I never really dived into basketball, and I don't care for the Raptors.
Okay, the Knicks series is what you're missing right now. It's just nah. Oh, the Knicks. It's wild.
Now, I did see Stephen A's rant on Kwame Brown. I thought that was well done. He smacked him back real good.
Before we get to these other series, real quick, Stephen A on hockey. You know what? I don't think he did that bad. I think he probably prepared a lot. It was on your Oilers, by the way.
I know.
listen, it's what you would expect from him, right? Like,
yeah.
It's what he is. And he pronounced Drysdale right. So I think that's about as good as he could have done.
Yeah, he did just fine. It's entertaining, and it's good to see ESPN giving its attention to hockey, finally.
Yeah, and actually, you know what? That leads me, these things are just cooking up while we're going. We're going to get these other series, but now that we're talking TV, I immediately think, okay, wait, I didn't have Wayne Gretzky written down as something that we were going to talk about, but might as well throw that your way. He steps down as vice chairman of the club, but really it's because he is joining on at Turner Sports for TNT's lead NHL analyst. I don't know. I don't have a great sense of whether he's going to be good at it. I mean, I think what TNT is searching for is to kind of replicate inside the NBA, which is Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley just saying whatever the hell they want, really. Huh. And like not really caring who they offend and, you know, being pretty funny, kind of unique in that way for sports television. I feel like Gretzky could be pretty good at it. But again, I haven't seen him enough in a broadcast element to know that. What do you
think? Yeah, and have you know, when he was with the Oilers, I got to spend a lot of time with him on flights, at hotels, go for dinner, stuff like that, which was, I had to pinch myself. I couldn't believe it. That's how amazing it was. And since then, his son and I have become good friends, and a couple of his other sons as well. So he's an amazing guy. Great storyteller, Joe. And I think that he sees things, little things in the game, subtle things that others don't pick up on. I don't think he's an X's and O's guy, but I think he's got the personality to tell these tremendous stories, and he'll pick up on stuff that you don't see. And he's like one of those guys that's on the team, just another dude on the team that likes to have a good time, likes to have fun. And if there's someone that can counter him on that panel or however they want to use him, that could get him to tell the stories, that can get him to make those reads and see those little things, he'll be just fine because he's got the personality. He's very calm, cool, and collected in front of the camera, in front of microphones. You just got to put him in the right situation with the right people that can draw that out of him. And he'll be A-OK.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to these other series. Game 7 tonight, Golden Knights and Wild. I think Vegas has been the better team in the series, but Minnesota's put up a damn good fight. Fleury versus Leonard. They're going with Fleury for Game 7. Do you think that's the right decision? Last year, I was all in on Leonard. Should have been their guy from beginning to end in that postseason. Fleury had a down year. Leonard had a great year, and he was good in the playoffs. This time around, I think I'm okay with them sticking with Fleury.
Yeah, I mean, he's had an amazing year, and you don't just take that away from him. Ride it out and see where it goes. He's been playing exceptional hockey, and this series has been tremendous to watch. So, Joe, I think going with Fleury is fine. Like, one or the other, you're going to be just fine between the pipes. It's just a matter of getting to the other guy at the other end. Cam Talbot's had a great playoffs so far, and so this has turned out to be a thrilling matchup. It's been great to watch. I'm sticking with Vegas in this one.
Yep, me too. And then finally on today's podcast, Toronto and Montreal. We saved the best for last. It's the Battle of Canada that's still going. Montreal forces it to 6 games. Man, I really wanted to get pushed to a 7th game. Like, I wanted to see Toronto maybe advance. A part of me wanted to because of the entertainment factor. And I think they, of all these North teams, would have the best chance of making it to the Stanley Cup final, putting up a good fight in the semis. But I want to see them. I want to see chaos. I want to see them lose. So I'm hoping Montreal pushes it to a 7th game. I still think Toronto, of course, would win the series, though, because they're up.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my pick of Montreal in 7. Hopefully they can get it done. They're going to have fans in the stands, 2,500 of them. Ticket sales are ridiculous. I checked StubHub, 9,500 per seat in some areas. Joe, it's the battle of Upper Canada and Lower Canada, going back to the old days, the 1800s, in what was Canada's definition was Upper Canada and Lower Canada, basically Quebec and Ontario. Yeah, I love chaos too, and it's been fun to just be a fan and watch these games in these series. And a bad pass by Galchenyuk, a nice 2-on-0 executed by the Habs, and lo and behold, we have a game 6 with fans in the stands.
Well, 2,500, right, in Montreal, crazy ticket prices, and maybe we'll get a 7th game in Toronto. We'll talk more about that series on our next episode. Me, Mike DeStefano, will be back on Tuesday. Thanks, everybody, for listening. This has been the Locked On NHL Podcast with Joe DiBiase and Tom Gazzola, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.